Today my topic is on emotion, and I was trying to grab Mr. Link's notes before the sermon just to give him a little bit of a scare, a little bit of emotion. He figured it out pretty quickly before I even got up here. So as humans, we all have emotions. Now, over the last few weeks, as most of you know, maybe some of you don't know, but if you'd been here in San Diego, you would have known that there was some minor soccer games going on. And these soccer games were, of course, leading up to the World Cup. Now, as I was busy working and watching these soccer games, yes, I was managed to do both at times. You'd watch the reactions of the fans as the camera would pan, and you could see the agony on people's face as one of their favorite soccer players missed the goal, or maybe they made a goal and everyone would be jumping around and cheering. Maybe there was a foul and the ref didn't catch it, or people would be, that's a foul, come on. But anyways, I digress. So all this led up to, of course, the World Cup, which was Germany versus Argentina. And had you been at the Lynx house that day, you would have been pleasantly surprised about how loud it got in that house. I mean, the decibels, I think my ears are still ringing. But, you know, it's funny how everyone becomes a couch coach and instant experts on the game as soon as the game starts playing. And, of course, Germany did win the game, and you should have seen the emotion at that. So, aside from soccer, on the more mundane side, I want to tell you a couple things that happened to me over the last week. So, you know, it was this last week that I was able to have a telephone call with somebody and to be able to give them some words of encouragement. And then the very next day, two people contacted me out of the blue just to say hi. And for whatever reason, this got me really feeling encouraged and motivated, and it charged me up to get through the rest of my week. And it reminded me of the scripture in Acts 2, in verse 46 and 47, where it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." So these people were together. They were of one accord, of one mind. And because they had such an attitude, God was growing the church at that time. And this scripture that I just read also made me think of Hebrews 10 and verse 25, which says, "Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, Paul said that then. How much more applicable is this for us today, where we can see the world is, you know, quickly coming to a close? Exhorting one another. That's quite an emotion. So we see that we all feed off of emotion. Now, the early church had the opportunity to be close together, and they encouraged each other to carry on. The tests and the trials were just the same as they are today. You know, while it may have been a few thousand years ago that these people went through their tests and trials, Satan hasn't changed his tactics in all those years. The mediums may have changed throughout the centuries, but he has not. So again, as human beings, we feed off of emotion. So then we have to be careful how we let emotions influence our lives. So what does God have to say about emotion? Does he have anything to say? Or can we, you know, behave just however we feel like? Well, Proverbs 25 and verse 28 states, "Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit." And again in chapter 16 and verse 32 of Proverbs, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." So self-control here is one of the keys to having the proper emotions that are right for Christians. You know, it's so easy to lose control at times, to let our emotions run rampant. How often do we lose our cool over minor and insignificant things? How important are the things that we say and the way that we say them? You know, if we tune into Satan's negative emotions, then we start feeling sad, depressed, frustrated, hateful, and angry. Now, the Bible tells us that we are made in his image. So we have to conclude that God then has deep emotions, just as we do. And as you read the Bible from cover to cover, you find his emotions of love, of anger, of joy and jealousy, peace and war, his righteous indignation, and yet his mercy and care and concern. But through it all, we see that God's emotions are always perfect. They are always in line with his will. And so it's his control and mastery of his emotions that should inspire us to try and live the same. You know, if we are being led by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit which emanates from God, then we will be empowered to do all things. We too can have control over our emotions. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10 states this. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 10, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything." So we see here that Paul was showing here a need for balance. We can see that we can have emotions, but our main focus should be on the kingdom of God. Now, our emotions should not rule over us. You know, if we know that we will be judged by the words we say, well, this by extension also will include our attitudes and our emotions. Now, the Apostle Paul is, I think, one of the perfect examples of the use of emotion throughout the New Testament. Now, he was constantly letting the brethren know just how he felt about them. And there could be no mistake how Paul felt, because he let them know time and time again. If you will turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. We see Paul here, who is writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he says, "Besides the other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." And if you will, turn to Philippians 1, and we'll start in verse 3. Philippians 1, and beginning in verse 3. Paul says here, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. So we see here that Paul used emotion, and he coupled it with the Holy Spirit. And he used it to serve those around him. Brethren, if we use the correct emotion and the Holy Spirit, then we too can help to serve those around us and to be of the right mind.